card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present Song from Heaven, starring Raymond Massey. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Shirley, pinch hitting for our Hallmark host, Les Tremaine, who can't be with us tonight because of laryngitis. Many times in the next week, you will hear the world's best love song, Silent Night. Have you ever wondered why everywhere on the earth it means Christmas? We're going to tell you tonight, with the help of one of the theater's most distinguished stars, Raymond Massey. We're delighted to have you with us, Ray.
And I'm pleased as punch to be doing this story, Tom. The old carol has always had a special meaning for me.
Why?
It reminds me of one particular Christmas Eve I spent in Siberia.
Siberia?
I finished up there at the end of the First World War.
Well, tell me, what was it like?
About 65 degrees below zero, and the men sunk to their boots. Suddenly, from one of the barracks, somebody started to sing, and others picked it up. It was Silent Night, and the men were singing it in three different languages. I knew that night what goodwill meant.
That's quite a story, Ray. Whatever happened to those men?
I lost track of them the way you do.
You don't have to.
That occurred to me last week. What a great idea it would be to send a greeting card to everybody in the world you'd ever spent a Christmas with.
That's a wonderful idea.
Of course, I'd look on the back, Tom, to make sure it's a Hallmark card.
Yes, those three little words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards are proud to present on the Reader's Digest radio edition a true story that is beyond time and space. Song from Heaven, starring Raymond Massey.
Because it's a true one. And like all good stories, it begins once upon a time. Yes, once upon a time, there was a young priest named Father Moore. He lived in an old, old village in the Austrian Alps over 100 years ago. And as he sat in his study one Christmas Eve, he could see the children in the valley carrying their lights down the frozen trails. And to him, it looked like a huge Christmas tree with 100 moving candles. But Father Moore had work to do that night. He had a sermon to think about. And with his Bible on the table in front of him, he read again and again the story of the shepherds in the fields and the angel who came to them and said,
"Unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David."
Father Moore?
Yes?
May I come in, Father? It's Frau Hefner.
Oh, by all means, come in. What brings you here so early in the evening, Frau Hefner? The midnight service will begin for hours yet.
I came on an errand, Father, for Hans the charcoal maker.
Oh, what is it, my dear?
His son was born to him this evening, and his wife would like you to come to the house and bless their baby.
Tonight?
If there is time tonight, Father. I know they live high on the hill, but your blessing would mean so much to them.
Very well. I'll get my cloak and come with you.
You have time, Father?
Well, I was going to do some work in my sermon, but you see, my sermon is about a baby, too.
The priest
priest and the woman went side by side up the mountain till they came to the house where the baby was born. It was a poor, shabby place, and the young mother lay on a crude bed, smiling happily, with the child asleep in her arms, a little boy, the son of a charcoal maker, born on Christmas Eve. And as Father Moore gave his blessings, he couldn't help but think of the city of David, and the blessed day a Savior was born.
I must go now, Hans. I have to get back for midnight mass. But before I leave, I must tell you what a strange and wonderful thing has happened to me tonight. Somehow I feel as if a miracle had come to pass. A Christmas miracle on Holy Eve.
That night when Mass was over, Father Moore sat down in his study with pen and paper and tried to put his feeling into words. But the words kept turning into verse. And when dawn broke, he had written a poem. A poem which he showed to a music teacher named Franz Gruber.
What do you think of it, Franz? Tell me the truth. The feeling was so big, and yet the words seemed so small.
Words like these are not small, Father. Only the paper is small. It cannot hold what you have written.
Don't make fun of me, Franz. I've never written poetry before.
But this isn't poetry, Father. It's music. The words sing out from the page like the notes of a melody.
You really think so?
I can hear them in my mind. I can almost play them for you.
Franz, I've never seen you,
no,
sir.
No, please. Let me hear how it ends, and I will play it for you.
My poem?
Your song, Father. Your song from heaven. I have it now in my mind. Come. You will hear it on the organ.
The organ is broken, Franz. We must have it repaired.
No matter. I will play it on my guitar, and you can fit the words in. After all, the Lord can hear us without an organ. Say the words, Father, in time of the music. Now.
Silent night. Holy night.
Good, good.
All is calm. All is bright.
Yes, go on, Father.
Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep.
Christmas Day, the song from heaven was born. And if that organ hadn't been broken, the song from heaven might never have gone any farther than the little village where it was born. But you see, son, a man from a neighboring village came to fix that organ one day. And after he thumped the keys and tapped the pipes and did all the mysterious things that people do when they fix very big and complicated things, Franz Gruber sat down and played the song from heaven for him, just to test the organ. And when he was finished, the organ maker said,
"Oh, it's lovely, Franz, lovely. Would you mind if I took it with me?"
"Took it with you?"
"Yes, down in the valley. I'm sure the people where I come from would like to hear it. Especially the Stasser children. They will sing it beautifully."
"And who are the Stasser children?"
Four of the most devilish little angels in the Zillertal Valley. And they have the sweetest little voices in all the world."
"Well, if you're going to teach them this song, I'll give you a copy of the words and music."
"Oh, just the words, Franz. The music I can keep in my mind. After all, I have 100 songs there already."
So the organ maker took the song back to the Zillertal Valley. And the four Stasser children sang like the angels. Carolyn the eldest, Joseph and Andreas in the middle, and Amelie the little one. And on cool, frosty evenings, while the Stasser father sat and smoked his pipe, and the Stasser mother sat and darned the socks,
"Sweetly, my children, you must sing it sweetly, because it is a sweet song. Now, once again, from the beginning. One voice at a time. You first, Carolyn."
"Silent night."
"Now, Joseph."
"Silent night."
"Andreas." all together.
They sang together then, the four little children with voices like angels. Carol and the eldest, Joseph and Andreas in the middle, and Annalie the little one. Yes, they sang the song from heaven many times that winter because it was their favorite tune. And others began singing it too, all through the valley of Zillertal. Father Spencer was very proud of his four little angels. And his four little angels were very proud of themselves.
And when we grow up, we'll be rich and famous. And you won't have to work anymore, Father.
Oh, I see.
You'll just sit back and smoke your pipe.
And wear your slippers. And hold Mama's hand.
And what are you children going to do?
We're going to sing.
Frau Shoemaker says we sing like nightingales.
Even better.
You may sing like nightingales, Emily, but you talk like braggarts, all of you. What makes you think you're going to be rich and famous?
Well, we're famous already. Everybody in the valley is singing the song from heaven.
And that makes you famous?
Well, in the valley, Father.
How big is the valley, Andreas?
Big, Father.
As big as the city of Leipzig?
No.
As big as the kingdom of Saxony?
No.
As big as the continent of Europe?
Well, no.
There, then. Stop with your bragging. You have sweet little voices, all of you. And the hymn you sing is a sweet little tune for me and you and the people in the valley. But no one else has ever heard of it. So don't hold your head so proud. You haven't done anything yet.
Well, someday the song will be famous.
Don't be a fool, Andreas. The world is a big world and the Zillertal is a small valley.
We'll be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. Tonight I have a happy message for you if you like Christmas presents. Your Hallmark dealer has a beautiful little datebook for you. It's a Christmas present from your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll be proud to own the new Hallmark datebook. It's so exquisite and dainty, with pages of delicate pink, decorated with flowers throughout. It's small enough to slip into your handbag, and I predict you carry it with you everywhere, or keep it right beside your telephone. You never think anything so pretty could be so useful. There's space beside each date for notations. You can jot down social engagements, appointments. You can keep a record of the things you want to do, like when to plant what in your garden. It will remind you of birthdays and anniversaries of relatives and friends. This little book of 36 pages will keep you from forgetting all those things you want to remember. And there's a big section at the back for your full Christmas card list with the place to check cards you've received. Stop in tomorrow at the store where you get Hallmark cards and ask for your 1948 Hallmark datebook. It will be given you free, a beautiful and useful Christmas present from your Hallmark dealer. Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, Song from Heaven, starring Raymond Massey.
Of a priest and a music teacher who wrote the song from heaven, and four little children who brought it to earth. Carolyn the eldest, Joseph and Andreas in the middle, and Emily the little one.
We are so. We are going. We go every year.
Not in the winter. We go in the spring.
Well, it's spring now.
Oh, it is not.
Father, Father.
Yes, Emily?
Isn't spring now? Or does spring come before winter?
No, dear. It'll be spring in a few days.
You see? In a few days, we'll be going up to Leipzig for the fair.
All of us? I? And me?
All of you, Emily. We must go to Leipzig and sell our gloves or we won't have any money.
You see? I told you we were glove makers.
Your mother and I are glove makers, Andreas. We've been working hard all winter long. And when spring comes, we must sell our gloves at the fair.
That's what I told her. We help you sell them.
You're not much help. May I sell gloves, Father?
You'd better sell them or we'll leave you in Leipzig.
Children, please, what's the big argument about?
Leipzig. Gloves.
Winter.
I wasn't arguing.
Well, you're a smart girl, Emily. You save your strength for selling gloves, then. If we sell them all, we'll have a wonderful time at the fair. Even in those days, a fair was an exciting event, my boy. People were everywhere in their finest clothes, with fur-trimmed mantles and velvet-trimmed boots, laughing, eating, listening to the band. There were cows that moved and sows that squealed, bells that tinkled and coins that shone. And the shelves of the booths were piled high with candies and cakes and silver and gold and...
Soft, shiny gloves for sale!
Shiny gloves for sale!
Gloves for sale!
Gloves!
So the Stancer children stood outside their father's booth, shouting at the curious crowds, and sad because the fur-trimmed mantles and the velvet-lined boots didn't stop for the soft, shiny gloves.
Well, I don't blame him. We're not selling any gloves.
Gloves, sir? Won't you buy a pair of gloves?
I'm sorry, little girl. I'm on my way to the bandstand.
They're all on their way somewhere.
And we are too, Emily.
Father.
I'm going to close up for today and see if I can't think of an idea to help us for tomorrow.
Oh, Father, please don't close the booth.
I might just as well,
Carol. Oh, no. I'm going to cry in a minute.
That won't help. What will?
Let's sing instead of crying. It always makes us feel better.
Then sing by all means, Emily. There's no reason why you children should be unhappy.
I don't want to sing. Well, I do.
Silent night.
I don't want to sing.
Holy night.
Will you stop it?
Came up to the children and said, "You sing very well, my friend."
Thank you, sir.
I've been listening to you every day.
Thank you, sir.
And buying gloves from your father.
Thank you, sir.
My name is August Poling.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, it's all right, little one. I'm the Director General of Music in the Kingdom of Saxony.
Oh, my.
And since you love music so much, I thought you might like some tickets to a concert I'm going to conduct tonight. In the Guildhouse.
Tickets? Concert? Guildhouse? Yes. We'd like them very much.
I knew you would, little one. And because you were so truthful about it, I'm going to give the tickets to you. Here you are, my dear. And be sure you're there by 8 o'clock, because the king and queen will be there, too.
The king and queen?
From Saxony?
Oh, my! We'll be there with bells on.
Promptly at 8:05, the children entered the brilliantly lighted concert hall. And amid top-hatted gentlemen and ladies with rustling gowns, they took their chairs. Carolyn the eldest, Joseph and Andreas in the middle, and Emily the little one, who wriggled in her seat. They saw the king and queen, they saw the flowers and the flags, and they listened to the music. And when it was over, they clapped their hands together, along with the top-hatted gentlemen and the ladies with rustling gowns. Then from the stage, Mr. Poland made an announcement.
Your Majesty, and lords and ladies, Thank you for your kind response. And now I have a surprise for you. There are in our distinguished company this evening four children who, in my opinion, have the finest uncultivated voices I have ever heard. And I think perhaps that they might be persuaded to treat us to a concert of their own lovely Tyrolean air.
Oh, Andrea, that's us. They want us to sing.
In front of all these people? How can we?
Well, we can't ask them to go home.
Why not?
That's where I feel like going.
Children, will you kindly stand up and come to the stage, please?
We can't do it. I'm frightened.
We have to do it. The king will have a shot.
Sunrise. Or the floor.
Children, please.
Karen, we've got to do it.
All right, we'll do it. But we'll close our eyes and make believe we're singing at home.
The four children did just that. They stood in a row with their eyes shut tight and sang the song from heaven first. And after some others, they sang it again. When the applause died down, a courier of the king stood before them.
I have a message from His Majesty the King.
For us?
For you.
For me?
For all of you.
What did we do? Only arrested?
Not at all. His Majesty requests the pleasure of your company at once in the royal box. Will you follow me, please?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. At once in...
Small children from the Zillertal Valley were presented to their majesties, the King and Queen of Saxony. And as they stood there, trembling in awe of their regal company, the Queen attempted to put them at ease.
Now, now, don't be frightened. We have children of our own, you know.
Scared ones, Your Majesty?
Well, I hardly think they'd be afraid of us any more than we'd be afraid of your parents.
Yes, Your Majesty. May we go now, Your Majesty?
Oh, just a moment, Andreas. I haven't told you how pretty I thought your song was. The Christmas song. I had never heard it before.
Oh, the song from heaven, Your Highness?
Oh, is that the name of it?
That's what we call it, Your Highness.
Well, it's charming. Won't you come to the castle and sing it for us next Christmas?
Well, we'd be very happy to, Your Majesty.
Splendid. Our children will love it, I'm sure.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, don't forget, I'll be expecting you at the castle. On Holy Eve.
And so it came to pass that on Holy Eve of a year long, long ago, four little children stood in the Royal Saxon Court Chapel and sang the song from heaven.
For Christmas. Doesn't it thrill you to see children's faces when they open a Christmas present they love? Well, this year it's easy to get presents that will put stars in their eyes. This year you can get treasure chests of Hallmark dolls. Treasure chests, lavish as a pirate's dream, ornamented in rich colors of gold and silver and bright jewels. Imagine your youngsters or young friends opening the chest and finding there, in a removable tray, 16 different Hallmark dolls. Little Miss Muffet, Cinderella, the Queen of Hearts, and all the other enchanting creatures in rich colored costumes with real feathered plumes in their hats. Hallmark dolls stand 8 inches high, and there's a story about each told inside in rhyme. A story that children love to read or hear over and over again. You can get the dolls separately for 25 cents a piece and send them as Christmas cards to start a collection. Children love to collect Hallmark dolls, but for a Christmas present of breathtaking splendor, get the treasure chest with 16 different Hallmark dolls for only $5, or with 8 dolls for $3. Stop in tomorrow where you buy your Hallmark cards and get Christmas presents straight from Fairyland. Treasure chests of Hallmark dolls. And now once again, the star of tonight's story, Raymond Massey. Ray, that was a swell show.
Thanks, Tom. And now what's the big surprise on the Hallmark program for Christmas Day?
It's a story as human as a stocking on a chimney. It's the story of one man who's an outcast, but who discovered for himself the meaning of Christmas.
That sounds good. Who's your star?
Paul Lucas.
Fine. I like Christmas Night at Home, so I won't miss that.
I hope you'll all be with us next week, ladies and gentlemen, for a superb and unusual Christmas story as the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, The Only Wise Man, starring Paul Lucas. Production Morning Becomes Electra. Song from Heaven was dramatized by Robert Sloan and was based on a true story from the book by Herschel Polly as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Investment in the world, United States Savings Bonds. You can get them easily and automatically by signing up for the payroll savings plan where you work, or the bond a month plan where you bank.